Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday, so we are talking about getting healed, doing what is necessary to become free in our soul. So our mind, will, and emotions can be completely joined to our already healed spirit. Remember, the healing that's taking place is taking place in your soul, and it's basically an interference between your soul and your spirit. And that's what's keeping you from really being able to experience everything God has for you in that area. Now, there's areas in your soul that maybe didn't need to be healed or that God has already healed. And those are places God is able to move freely and be joined freely. But the areas where we are still believing lies, those are areas where we are basically holding God at arm's length. So even if it's not something that's bothering us, even if it's something that's not bothering us, it may be hindering God. So there may be even times that he will put someone or something on the table for you to deal with that doesn't bother you. Just remember, it may bother God. And guess what? If it bothers him, we need to deal with it. We need to take him at his word, take him at his face value. We don't always understand, we don't need to always understand what he wants to do and why. That's his business. He's the God. Now, in your spirit, you do understand, and you do agree, and you have already agreed to what God wants to do in your life. So, as far as understanding, what we're talking about is very often we want to understand with our own mind. We want to have a level of control. A lot of times it's we want to be able to do it ourselves. You know, this is, you know, what God wants us to do. Okay, God, I'll take it from here. It's like, no, I'll do everything. I'll do the healing. I'll do pointing out where you need to be healed. I'll train you to develop new skills. So it is us learning how to cooperate with him, and that's how he created us to be. You're unique. You're an individual, and he values and loves that. But he's the one who gave you that. And it was your individuality was never meant to be the source of your life. It is an enhancement of your life. So he appreciates it, and we appreciate our individuality, our uniqueness. But it's not that uniqueness that gives us value. It's God's personality, his spirit, his being, his characteristics. He values you because he values you. So you are valuable to him. Now, some may be not wanting to hear that because it means there's nothing you can do to earn that value. Or maybe you've been doing something that you've been thinking God is going to bless you because you've been doing something or accomplishing something or in some way, shape, or form contributing to what you believe God wants you to do. and that's what God appreciates. For others, hopefully, it's a relief to realize that you don't have to accomplish anything or be anything or help God with anything, that He values you just as you are. Either way, we're all in process. Wherever you are right now is exactly where God wants you. You aren't staying there. God has plans for you. And this goes back to, why do we want to know God's will? Why do we want to know the future? So we can be involved. So we can have a level of control. And that's exactly what God doesn't want us to have, a sense of self-control, that we can control our destinies. None of us knows what's happening tomorrow. We may think we do, and it may be exactly like today. But what we can do is be ready. Because God's purpose for us is to be in training. God knows what He has for you tomorrow. Later today, next week, 10 years from now. 1,000,000 years from now. He knows what you'll be doing. And He will have you ready. We can be joining Him in that rest. Now again, rest isn't passivity. Rest is letting Him take the lead. Letting Him decide what's important. Letting Him be the teacher. And letting Him provide understanding if we need it, or direction when we need clarity. He also provides encouragement and motivation. He provides everything we need. It may be through people, it may be through a book or this radio program. But it's coming from Him. We can be hearing the greatest sermon ever preached, and if it's not what God is speaking to us, it'll sound like silly words that just drop to the ground. Likewise, when He's speaking to us, whoever we're listening to, and I've seen this happen so many times, you speak words to someone, and God takes them, can we say, in midair and turns them. And the person hears something totally different than what you said. But they hear what God wants them to hear, what they need at that moment. That's one of the reasons it's important for each one of us to learn or to relearn that we don't need to understand. Now, sometimes God motivates us by a desire to understand. But even better than understanding is experiencing. One of the things we're trying to really do is put into practical application concepts we've learned. We've in many ways set aside, this is how we know God. This is what the Christian life looks like. And it has to be done in a certain context. But when we start taking these things and make them private, very often It's in that quietness and that privacy that God can really bring to the surface those things that he really wants to speak to us about. That's why when we're talking about the current topic of forgiving, forgiveness of others, we're going to make it very practical, but also very private. Unless God really makes it clear, this is only between you and him. One of the skills we all need to develop is learning to keep quiet. Learning to keep our mouths shut. I suspect that one of the reasons, you know, God loves to share what he's doing with us. And in your spirit, again, you already know what he's doing in the world and in your life. But I think one of the reasons he doesn't train us more quickly to perceive that in our soul is that we haven't learned to keep our mouths shut. Are we trustworthy in that regard? So this is a great place to exercise that. As we go through this process of forgiving others, you don't need to tell anyone else. Now, it may be a comfort to tell someone else, you know, that is not involved. Just because you need to get it out emotionally. That is certainly something you can ask God about. God, is it okay if I talk to so-and-so about this? Now, this is not a substitute for talking to him about it. And we do have, you know, many cautions about what we're learning. What you're learning to do is so individualized. You know, we talk about God being a personal Savior, a personal God. Well, that means he's going to have a personal dialogue with you, personal communication, personal conversation. And so when we start checking up on him by sounding what he's speaking to us with others, we want to make sure we're not breaching that trust and exposing someone else unnecessarily. Now, this is, of course, we know how to hear his voice and test it. God, is this you? Lord, is this you? Because forgiving others, we obviously are talking about someone else hurting us, whether it's real or perceived. And we don't want to unnecessarily and inappropriately expose anyone else to criticism or basically expose them. So we keep it private between us and God. Again, unless he specifically says it's okay. And you may even want to think, okay, why is it I want to talk to this person about something that they weren't involved in? This is just, again, a sensitive area that we want to be respectful of what God is doing in our lives and what he's doing in others' lives. We'll get into this a little bit more, but for right now, let's just review your homework from the previous parts of this before what we've done before is forgiving God. Okay, so hopefully you've had an opportunity to clear your slate with him, to see that there's no areas that you are holding him accountable. that you have a clear relationship, that you're not angry with him. You've got a clear communication with him. So now in forgiving others, we've talked about forgiveness doesn't let them off the hook. Doesn't mean that they're not accountable for their behavior. In fact, it frees us to hold them accountable for their behavior, not for their motives, not for even them hurting us. Just a quickie, if someone comes up to me and punches me in the face, I forgive them immediately because I'm a forgiving person. It has nothing to do with them. But then I call the police. And I file charges. And I hold them accountable. So they're two separate things. It has nothing to do, but I'm no longer personally involved. I recognize that there are laws governing that behavior, and I rely on the law to take it from there. Likewise, I don't allow behavior because I've forgiven it. For instance, if that person that hit me in the face was my spouse, doesn't change a thing. I forgive him, but I call the police. Just because someone's married to you doesn't change the law. And we've gotten into this before, so I'm not going to do it again. But take that into consideration. You're forgiving someone is not about accepting, condoning, or accommodating their behavior. There are consequences to our actions, even though we are forgiven for them. So your homework was to depend on God and come up with a list of people that you need to forgive. And to be very specific for each person about what specifically you need to forgive them for. Now, just give, for instance, you know, think about your, maybe a third grade teacher embarrassed you in front of the classroom. And you can't even remember their name. Doesn't matter. You know, however you want to describe them, again, it's not about them, it's about you. And let's just back up a little bit more about what not understanding forgiveness does. When we think forgiveness is about an emotional reaction or dependent on the other person, and that we have to make it right with that other person, or that other person has to ask for forgiveness or feel bad or feel that, you know, agree that they've done something wrong to us, that they've caused us pain. When we believe all those things, we are believing a lie. And it's that we are believing a lie that makes us, that is the wound, and that is what it makes us vulnerable to our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not lack of forgiveness. It's that we're believing a lie. Okay? So now we're all, right now, we all are all believing lies. Okay? Because none of us is completely, fully healed and whole. We may not be working on anything right now, but there are some out there, even if you've been working on this for your whole life. Because one of the things that happens is we inherit lies from our parents. And we won't go into taking care of those generational and how we are learning to rule and reign over time. But any area where we are believing lie about ourselves, about others, or about God, that's an area where we have a wound. And we are not able to know God, and his life is not able to flourish in that area. So this area of forgiveness is important to us, because we have some extensive lies about it within the Christian church. But it's no more difficult to address and to develop skills to deal with than any other lie. So we pay attention to it in this series to give you something tangible to do with it, so you can go on to the next thing God wants to talk to you about. And on Saturdays, we're talking about how it's not just dealing with negative things, bringing us into healing and correcting things that are wrong, but also developing positive skills, developing new ways of knowing him and ruling and reigning in the supernatural realms. So they both go hand in hand. So you've got your list of people that either you've come up with and you've checked with God. God, are these the ones that you want to talk to me about now? And then you've let him bring to the surface any that you may have forgotten. Now, you may even want to write out a separate piece of paper for each one of these. And when you're done, you're going to sign it and date it. Years from now, you may want to remind yourself, you may need to remind yourself that you've forgiven this person. One thing, let's remind ourselves that our enemy, the devil, that particular, we've got three major enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and pretty much every enemy we have falls into one of those categories. But they don't give up when we've been healed in an area. They know we've got, let's say we've got a button there, and just because we finally get that button healed, well, where no matter what you push on it, it doesn't have the same connection because we've been healed there. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop pushing on it. It's just our reaction is going to be different. Well, what sometimes happens is our enemies stop pushing on that button. But that may, down the road, start again. And we may think, well, maybe I didn't really forgive them. And you may have forgotten how you used to react. And you may think, well, maybe this didn't work, or didn't take, or God didn't heal me, or I need to do something more. When all it is a tactic of the enemy. Again, this is why it's so important that we be able to hear God for ourselves and to be able to test his voice and have confidence that we are hearing him specifically for our situation. It's also one of the reasons we develop a unique communication with him, a personal communication with him. For instance, when God talks to me, you know, he doesn't use old, you know, King James English. He uses language that I'm familiar with, that I'm comfortable with, that I can recognize. And one of the things a long time ago we agreed on is that he would not use scripture. He would not use Bible verses. And so that's one of the ways I often recognize, or my first check, when someone has a word for me, or I'm getting some kind, you know, I'm hearing something. You know, when someone says, Lord really wants you to read blah, 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 you know, 1 John, whatever, I'm go, okay. Odds are it's not from him. Now, it may be that that person, that's all they can hear. And so I'll still just ask God, God, is that from you? But this is one of the reasons God is a person. God is real. And he can speak for himself, and he does. He's perfectly capable and wants to and is insisting on speaking for himself. So, your homework for next Tuesday, you've got your list. And again, you may want to make a single page for each one of your names. And what you've done for each one of those names is you've described the hurt. It doesn't matter whether they did it intentionally or not. Okay? We may be angry at our parents because they were angry with us. You know, a real common hurt that can really shake up a child is death of a parent at a young age. That can cause such a sense of abandonment. And we have to blame someone, so we blame them for leaving us. If you really loved me. But we know in our head that they didn't intentionally, unless they committed suicide, they didn't intentionally take themselves out of our lives. If they were killed in a traffic accident or something like that, that wasn't their fault. They didn't do it to hurt you, but it still hurts. So it's not about motivation. It's not about personal, being personally directed at you. But you write down what they did. And you can fill in the blank. It hurt me when you abandoned me when I was a child. It hurt me when you died. Or fill in the blank, whatever it is, that, because this is what it's all about, is pain. Someone has caused you pain. And we want to get specific about what it is. So then the second part, the next part of that, is to get down in paper the conclusions you've drawn from that hurt. And I want you to complete the sentence. It made me feel. When you hurt me, it made me feel. For instance, it hurt me when you died and left me alone. And it made me feel like you never loved me. And since you didn't love me, nobody could love me. Or it made me feel so bad, I did stupid things. Fill in the blank for each one of those. When you hurt me, it made me feel. So we'll take it up there next Tuesday. In the meantime, have a great week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Hang in there with this. I know it can be kind of difficult, but there is an end to it. We're dragging it out because we want to get through it on the radio, but there is an end to it. And it's freedom. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again Thursday morning. Have a great rest of the week until then. Thanks.